That we didn't get singing in its entirety on the Lord's Day evening. So we're going to sing all this hymn, My Lord His Garments So Wondrous Fine, and Mare Their Texture Fills, Its Fragrance Reached to This Heart of Mine, With Joy My Being Thrills. Seats. Let us all pray. Our God and Father, we still our hearts before thy holy presence in the light of these beautiful words that remind us of the dear Savior who came from the ivory palaces of glory into this world of woe and came such a distance in the great humiliation of Christ when he took upon himself a human body and a reasonable soul to be the mediator. We thank thee for the God-man. We thank thee for the coming of the Saviour to dwell among us. And Lord, we know that when men of his day beheld him, they beheld the glory of God, and they saw the Saviour of the world. It is in his name that we come to thee now to seek your blessing upon this gathering. We thank thee that we can come here unhindered on a Monday night to worship the Lord, to sing the praises of God, to pray together, to open up your word and at least for a little while read it and meditate upon it. We pray that this meeting will be a blessing as we think of all the Lord has done for us, as we think, Lord, about even aspects of the mission field and what you're doing there, as we think about the help that has been given too. What a joy it has been for us to be part of that. For we know the Lord Jesus said, it's better to give than to receive. And although at this time of the year many will be receiving, there will also be many giving. There can't be the one without the other. And Lord, we pray that we'll see the blessing and know the joy in our hearts of what it is to give. Not only to give to one another, but to give to those that are less fortunate than ourselves, to give to the work of God that it might prosper on earth, to give ourselves. Lord, we would even now present our bodies as living sacrifices to God afresh, putting our all on the altar, asking the Lord to do with us as he will, that his will be done in our lives every day, that thou wilt work in us and through us in a dark day, when the generation around us is filled with sin and the world is sliding down the abyss to hell itself. Help us, Lord, to be that light in a dark place, shining for thee. Bless our families at this time. You know the burdens, you know the anxieties, the distresses even of some, what they're passing through. We thank thee that burdens are lifted at Calvary and Jesus is very near. We pray for your presence there, for to go with the individuals tonight that are suffering in any way and be their portion. Continue to remember those who have felt sorrow this year and in recent days especially, that Jesus himself will draw near and go with them. Pray for all the sick ones on the list that we have on the announcements every week. Lord, we commend them to your grace and we pray that you will perfect that which concerns them. And so, Lord, come down into this meeting. Be one of our number. Fill this room, this building, with a real conscious sense of the presence of God. And send us from this place tonight, rejoicing in the Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. I'm going to sing Joy to the World. The Lord has come, let earth receive her King. A couple of verses. I'm going to sing the other verse. He rules the world with truth and grace. Triumphant to Bethlehem, hasten now with glad accord. And we're going to sing two verses, the first and I think it's the last one also. Well, welcome tonight to the meeting here in the building and elsewhere. If you're listening in on the internet, we bid you a very warm word of welcome. No other meetings planned for this week, but we do come back on the Lord's Day after Christmas, and at 12 noon the preacher will be Mr. Greg Gibson. Looking forward to him ministering the word. Students have now completed their examinations, so they're happy. They can look forward to Christmas and get prepared for preaching next Sabbath day. We'll have our student assistant, Simon Anderson, coming at 6:30. We're asking you to note the time again because of the curfew from 8 o'clock at night to 6 in the morning, when there ought not to be any public gatherings. We will meet half an hour earlier. I draw attention to the end of the year fellowship service, which is replacing the watch night on the last day of the year. That will be at 6:30 also. It will last for about the hour, and we will have a time of prayer at the start, and make room maybe for a testimony or two and a short message reflecting over the year that has been and looking forward to the new year, as we usually like to do at the conclusion of any year that God has given to us. If you have penny jar money, bring it in, please, as soon as you can, at least by the end of the year, if that's possible. I want to preach on a modern text for the new year, as we normally do. When thinking about this and praying about it, we have to get it organized, thought about, and decided upon before the Lord early. We just don't do it the previous week, not normally anyhow, because we get it printed, and we're very thankful to Joe Cosley, who does this for us every year, gets little cards for us, and he does that free of charge, and we appreciate that. And so as we thought about it maybe a couple of weeks ago, and thought of all we've come through in the past year, the difficulties that we've faced as a congregation, especially with coronavirus and the lockdown, and some of our members passing away, I thought, what do we need? What do we need as we face 2021? And we need an anchor. And that lovely verse in the book of Hebrews came to me. We have an anchor that is sure and steadfast. And so we're letting you know now, so you can really pray for us as we come to the modern text, that this will be a blessing to us on that day and also in the months ahead. We have said that the Lord's table will take place after the worship service, and anyone that is seeking membership ought to see me as soon as possible. We give thanks for those that have been able to continue to support the church during these days. In lockdown times, you were sending in your tithes and your offerings even when you weren't able to get to church. Some folks are still shielding. We appreciate that. But you've given to all aspects of the work of God, the building fund, Let the Bible Speak, Missionary Covenant Support, the school. And we just want to take the opportunity again, as we come almost to the end of another year, to thank you sincerely in the Lord's name. Now, if you didn't get a Christmas card from the Park family, they're at the door or the tables on the way out. Please take one. Don't want to have to keep them for another 12 months. Want to get them out to you. And we've mentioned the Deborah House cards and the ones from Noreen. We mentioned that again tonight because it is a kind of a Christmas. Well, I know Noreen's is a Christmas card. The other is Christmas greetings along with other information. So you don't want to miss out on this at all. Get it before Thursday. Can we come and sing again with another? I know we normally leave it till later, but we're going to sing it now just before we bring a wee message. I'm just going to be a short message tonight, just a few thoughts I'm going to leave with you. And then we're going to get down to prayer. Well, we haven't had lengthy times of prayer recently, so we're going to give a little bit of extra time to prayer tonight. And then at the end, we have some slides to show you. We've been showing you nearly every week now aspects of the mission field, things that you have helped with, especially coming up to Christmas. And there's up-to-date information for you tonight that we're able to show to you. See in yonder manger low, born for us on earth below, see the Lamb of God appears, promised from eternal years. Hail, thou ever blessed morn. Hail, redemption's happy dawn. Sing through all Jerusalem, Christ is born in Bethlehem. want to be able to sing about this tonight. Let's read a few verses from the scriptures tonight that are relevant, especially to this time of the year, that remind us about Christ coming into the world. Reading from Isaiah chapter 9, first of all, and just two verses, verses 6 and 7. What I read tonight will be familiar to you. And a real blessing, undoubtedly, even though you know these verses, we want them to live in your heart, want them to do you good right now as we read them. Here is the Word of God, written by the finger of God, the Holy Spirit Himself. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Then over to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. It says there, 23 to 25. I think we'll read from verse 21 to 25. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And then that little text at the end of 2 Corinthians 9. It should be verse 15, not 19. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Amen. May the Lord bless these short readings to you tonight, these familiar words. And I was just thinking about the names of Christ. And as we develop it just a little bit, and it's just for a few minutes tonight, the names of Christ in the place of prayer, and what some of these names might mean to us as we come to seek the Lord in a few minutes' time. Now, I think many of you will know that there are around 200 names and titles attributed to Jesus Christ in the Word of God, Old Testament and New. And we need these names to tell us something about him, about his person, his character, his attributes, all the wonderful perfections of Christ. One or two, three names would not do. We need all these names to cause us in our minds to think about the one who was called the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world to be our Savior. And there are, of course, the most common and obvious names that we're very familiar with. The name Jesus, that means Savior. The name Christ, which is the Anointed One, the equivalent of Messiah in the Old Testament Scriptures. We have the word Lord, reminding us of the deity of Christ. We think of how he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Son of God, pointing to his deity. He's the Son of Man, pointing to his humanity. He's the Lamb of God, and if we could see the text behind the screen, that is the text that we have there. Behold the Lamb of God, reminding us of his sacrificial offering upon the cross of Calvary. He's the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. He's the Good Shepherd of the sheep. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the light of the world. He's the door. He's the true vine. He's the prophet, priest, and king. And he is our rock. And these are all the terms that we are familiar with. They are common and they are obvious to us. And then there are the more unusual terms, perhaps you could put it that way. The word logos, which is in, I think you all know, it's the Greek language, but translated word. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal word. The Bible is the written word. Jesus Christ is the living word. And in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. If we think of the term I am, he's the great I am. Even those titles that we've mentioned, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life, all pointing to this title, I am. And Jesus, you remember on one occasion, he said to the Jewish people, before Abraham was, I am. And the Jews had no doubt whatsoever what he was saying, what he was referring to. The great I am, the eternal, everlasting God. That's what he was saying. But when he said those words, they were taken aback. In fact, they fell backwards because of who he was now claiming to be. He was claiming to be God upon the earth. And we think of the word advocate. If any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's the one who pleads our cause at the right hand of the Father there in the court of heaven. That's the job of the advocate. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is seated there on high, he's remembering us and he's pleading our cause before the Father. He's the cornerstone. And you and I, as the church, we are built into this cornerstone, this foundation. He is the foundation of our faith. He's the forerunner who has gone on before us into glory. And one day we're going to follow him. Some of our loved ones have already followed him. They've gone there to be with Christ, the forerunner. And we're going to follow him one day. He's the Rose of Sharon, that beautiful Old Testament description in the book of the Song of Solomon that reminds us of the sweetness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's our Passover. Jesus Christ, our Passover that was sacrificed for us. There upon the cross of Calvary, when he took our place, he became the sacrifice for our sin. In the shedding of his blood, he bought eternal redemption for us. And that blood has been applied to our hearts by faith. And therefore, as our Passover, God will pass over us in the great judgment day, when the ungodly will be cast out forevermore.
When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So these are other wonderful titles, maybe more the unusual. And then there are those titles that I've read about tonight, names that are associated with the Lord at this time of the year. And I want to mention, just briefly in passing, several of these names, the ones that I've read about tonight. And I want to see how they relate to us, especially in the place of prayer. And so we go back to the first reading, to Isaiah chapter 9, and we see the first five of these titles. Wonderful. The Lord Jesus Christ has this great title. We can say tonight as we look at the Lord, He is wonderful. We know that He's wonderful in every aspect of His person, in every aspect of His perfections, His whole character, the whole makeup of Christ, all that He came to do, all that He was when He was here upon the earth was wonderful. Jesus Christ is truly wonderful. And if you want to apply that title to the place of prayer, we have to say He is wonderful in the fact that He hears us. Isn't it good to know as we come in a few minutes' time and we approach unto Almighty God that there is an ear in heaven that is open unto our cry? And that's a wonderful thing, to know that the God of glory in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is bending over this gathering. He's listening to what we have to say by way of our prayers ascending to Him. And He's not only wonderful in hearing, but He's wonderful in answering our prayers. Have you had prayer answered this year? I'm sure you have. I hope you have. I trust that all of us can look back over the course of the 12 months and we can say here and there are things that we brought before the Lord, and the Lord has answered those prayers. He's not only wonderful, but He is the Counselor. And the Counselor reminds us of one who teaches. He's our Counselor tonight. He's the one who instructs us. And when we come to the place of prayer, the Lord Jesus will teach us what to say. We don't know how to pray as we ought. And we need to be taught of the Lord. And we need to be like those disciples that we read about in the Gospel of Luke chapter 11, who came to Christ with that request on their lips, Lord, teach us to pray. And I think you know the context. The Lord Jesus Christ had just been praying. He was praying in a certain place. The disciples come along. They did not interrupt Him in the place of prayer. You don't want to interrupt anyone who's praying. You certainly don't want to interrupt the Lord Jesus, and these men didn't. And there He is praying, they're watching, they're observing, they're taking it all in, and no doubt in their mind, they're saying, we don't pray like that. They're saying, I wish we could pray like that. And so when the Lord had finished praying, they bring this request to Him, Lord, teach us to pray. John taught his disciples to pray, Lord, will you teach us how to pray? And I want to be taught by the Counselor how to pray. You want to aim at being a mighty man, a mighty woman, a mighty young person of prayer. Know what it is to do business with God. Your Counselor will show you how. And then He is the mighty God. And if you want to give some kind of application to the place of prayer, let's remember, as the mighty God sitting upon the eternal throne, He's able to do all things. And therefore, I can come with confidence. I can come with boldness. I can come to make my petitions known to Him, because the one that I come to is seated upon the throne. He's God. He's the mighty God, the everlasting God. And nothing is impossible with Him. And I can bring my requests, therefore, to the throne of grace, to this mighty God. And then He's the Prince of Peace. This text is reminding us of this fifth title. He gives peace in our hearts in the midst of the raging storms. If you've come to this prayer meeting tonight, in a few minutes you're going to seek the Lord, you've got a burden, and your heart is in some way raging. It's just like the angry waves. It seems as if you're in the midst of some terrible storm in your life. I don't know. your precise circumstances. I don't know what you've been passing through over the weekend or what you might have to face in the incoming week. But I do know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and he came to give peace, especially in the midst of the storms of life. Come to him in prayer and know that he's able to bring a calmness in the midst of your storm. And then when you go over to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Matthew, this other passage that we read tonight, we see in verse 21 that he is Jesus. And I love this verse very often. It's a verse that will appear on a Christmas card, or if you're writing a card and there's no text on it, you might put this reference, you might even write out the text. She shall bring forth a son, thou shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that obviously reminds us about redemption. The word Jesus, we were saying this yesterday, last night, means Savior. Speaking of the work that he came to do, he came to save us from our sins. And how did he accomplish that? By going all the way at the conclusion of his ministry to the cross of Calvary, where he laid down his life as that once and for all time sacrifice for our sin. And so when I come to the place of prayer, how does this name relate to me? Well, obviously it relates to me in redemption. I can thank God for the work of Jesus, the Savior of man, what he's accomplished in my life, the forgiveness of sins, the pardon, the peace, the forgiveness that I have experienced. And then I'm reminded about the mightiness of this name, the name Jesus. Has he not told us to ask in Jesus' name? Don't we often finish our prayers for Jesus' sake? Oh, what a name, the name Jesus is. Brothers and sisters, let us plead it tonight at the throne of grace in prayer. And then also in Matthew chapter 1, we have the name Emmanuel. And that brings us back, first of all, to the Old Testament, to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Here, 700 years now, before the incarnation, before Christ coming into the world, the evangelical prophet is able to speak in such terms. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And so when you come now to the account of Christ's birth and that birth being announced in verse 23, to Joseph, a virgin. I'm going to think about what I've just quoted now from Isaiah 7 and 14. A virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And here in the New Testament, the interpretation is given. Everyone should be able to tell us what the name means without looking at the rest of the verse. You all know tonight that it means God with us. Has that not got significance in the place of prayer? As we come to bow the knee at home or bow our heads here in the house of God, Emmanuel, God with us, as we're sitting in this church building and we are together, and you can say she's with us and he's with us tonight, but greater than that, the Lord is here in the wonder of his presence. And Jesus has said and promised, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. I want you to know that and think about it when we come in a few minutes' time to seek the Lord in prayer. He is Emmanuel. He's with us as we seek him. And then just to mention to you the other verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Another title of the Lord. He is the unspeakable gift. Will you not, as you come to seek him in prayer, thank God tonight for the unspeakable gift, the gift that God has given to this world? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the unspeakable gift that has been given to this world, and in a special way given to the Lord's dear people who have received him into their lives, into their hearts to be their Savior. So there's something else to think about as we come in prayer. Christ, the unspeakable gift that God has given. Let these titles live afresh in your mind and your heart now. And in a few minutes, we will come to seek the Lord in prayer. But very often we have been able to have like a missionary meeting nearly every week by telling you a little something about the mission field. And there is sincere thanks from the land of Pakistan. A number of occasions through the year, you know, we've been able to help this place where Freya serves the Lord. This is not Freya in this picture. You're going to hopefully hear from Freya in a wee minute or two if the technology works. If it doesn't work, we'll just skip over it. But this is one of the ladies that comes in every week. The mission board has financed the rent of a room. So these ladies have this facility every day. And they come here three or four times a day. Come to study the Word of God. And they come to make dresses or learn the art of making dresses. And these sewing machines were provided by the Hebron Church. So we're very thankful to you for that. And they called it. They said, could you give us a name for this center, this sewing center? And you know, the only one I could think about that was involved with material was Lydia. And I thought of how she was from Thyatira. So they've called it the Thyatira Sewing Center. Now, if I'm right, we're going to hear.
Hello, brothers and sister. How are you doing? Hope you all are blessed with grace of God. And I thanks to Brother Lester because I got a chance to talk all of you. And my name is Friha, and I live in Pakistan. We are working here in Pakistan because of God's man, Pastor David Park. And we are running here Sunday school for little children, in which we teach them about God. And we have also a Titra Center for women, girls, and in which we teach them about how to see a new cloth. And especially we are here Bible study. And I thanks to Lord for that because He chosen us for His work. And also thanks to Brother David Park because all is done by him. And he gives us funds, and so that's why we purchase the food for needy peoples, because he gives us a emergency aid. And thank you so much, brothers and sisters, who helps us, and God bless you.
Amen. So she's just telling about the work, the children's work, the Sunday school, the sewing center, the distribution of food to the poor, and she just really wants to thank her brothers and sisters here in Northern Ireland. And then, of course, we have the opportunity of reaching the Hindu tribal people of Pakistan, our sister Deep going to various areas every week. And this was last Sabbath day, and you can see some of the people that we preach to. And they give them this food. This is probably the best meal they will have in a month. And this is provided for them at the end of the service. I don't think you're going to hear this one because this is quite low. If we turn it up, we might sound like the Liverpool boat, but we'll see. So basically, our sister is thanking you for, again, what you've done in Pakistan, helping these poor people, the food that has been given, the facilities that have been provided. We'll show you about that just in a moment. Not sure what that is, but this is one of the hand water pumps. So these people prior to this were drinking dirty water, but I think it's £250, £300 or something installs one of these
hand water pumps. We are thankful to this hand water pump from Hebron Church, from Brother David, and we are thankful to this hand water pump because now they are used clean water, and after they are used a dirty water, but now they are used a clean water for drinking, for using, and they are thankful to Hebron Church.
If I had time, I would have put the subtitles up. At least you could have read it and listened to it as well. And of course, we take the very basics of life for granted, don't we? And this is
a toilet facility. But you've got to imagine these girls going, maybe walking away out into the bush. And very often they're kidnapped, they're taken away, they are abused. And to have this facility just in the wee hamlet where they live has been
now
a blessing.
Now we are came in here and this toilet, we are thankful to Free Presbyterian Church. And we are thankful to this toilet for us. They are using, especially girls are using this toilet for shower and for bath. So they are thankful to you, your church, and your all kindness and love for us. We are thankful to you.
Then moving across to India, probably those of you who are familiar with the history, or you read the wee article that we put in the Vision magazine, Pakistan was one time part of India, and then they got their own country, the only country in the world that has been created for Islam. So it's an Islamic state, and at that time there was a great migration of 100 million people moving out of Pakistan that were Hindu people, and about 100 million from India who were of the Islam religion moving into Pakistan. But it did leave some Hindus in the country, and most of them are tribal, most of them are really slaves to their land owners. But India, of course, is where Dipankar works and labours for Christ and helping with pastors' conferences. And these are some of the men. And last Lord's Day, a service. Sorry, this is just a photograph. Didn't put on the one that he was preaching at. But he's out there preaching and sharing the word, helping believers, encouraging them in the Lord. And then a sincere thanks from these Roma families in Muldamanoa. These just come through today, sent to me by one of the members of the church there. This is the new pastor in Muldamanoa. And he was happy to go with the selection boxes and the clothes that were sent out to them and give these things out. And the children were just overjoyed that Christmas had come early today. And then there's a sincere thanks from that other area, Tetchia, where the poor families are. The lady with the blue mask, of course, is Emma. You've met Emma. She came and stayed here with us for a week's holiday last year with her husband Sabine, and they went along to the poor families and they gave out food and clothing to them. She was back and forwards a little bit with this family. There are six children and two adults that live in two rooms, and she was just telling me over WhatsApp correspondence this evening that they have no table in the home. They have no wardrobe. They have no washing machine. We saw a picture of the washing machine. Susan saw the picture at the top of it. It doesn't work. It's done. They have no beds. We saw the children carrying sheets of foam, and that's what they lie on. And they have very little food. The husband does work. He does his best to provide for the family. And so we made a wee inquiry. This lady is a believer. If we could help in some small way, and we've asked to get some prices of those items. She said she'll go tomorrow and look around second-hand shops to see if she can get some of these things and let me know. And so they continue to visit some of these poor individuals. Now we come to our time of prayer. We just ask somebody to remember these various aspects of the world, as the gospel is shared and as our love is also shared. Do remember these folks in Pakistan and India and Romania. Remember our sister Noreen doing a very similar work in the land of Uganda. Don't have any recent updates from her. And remember other aspects of the mission field as the Lord puts in your heart. So just let's bow together, please, for a few minutes, and maybe somebody will lead us for the missionary work as we pray for it.